The following is a sponsored program. High Desert Broadcasting is not responsible for the views or claims expressed in this program.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mama.
Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm excellent. Should I ask? No, I really am. A little Deborah Winger-ish today. I kind of lost my voice over the weekend. It's slowly coming back. But other than that, I'm doing good.
Deborah Winger has a sexy voice.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's so what I've been told.
You can be the sexy voice woman today.
Yeah.
I'll just be me.
Okay, good.
Okay, so we were told by somebody that we laughed too much on the show.
I don't think
you. Is that a sin?
I don't think you can laugh too much because laughter is good medicine. It really does keep you healthy.
So let's just laugh our way through the whole show.
Well, welcome to It's a Paradox. Vicki, what is a paradox?
Oh, shit. I'm going to memorize that.
All right, I'll do it.
Oh, thank you.
A paradox is a noun. It is a belief or statement that runs contrary to public opinion. Now, my friend Rob, who was on the show last week, I got a very detailed text message from him, I don't know, last week or the week before, saying that's technically not the definition of a paradox. So I asked him to send me the real definition, and it is actually one of the real definitions. It's just not the main one. And I got this very long political diatribe. So
forget it, Rob.
Yeah, I'll try to find another definition, but
that's the way the cookie crumbles.
One works for our purposes. So today we're talking about raising healthy kids.
And if you have questions, please give us a call at 661-266-4420.
And this is a great topic. We've got two great guests coming on the air today. The first one is a very, very dedicated mom who has she's recovered her son from autism. And, you know, autism is one of those disorders that is just, it impacts everyone in the family. It's so difficult to deal with.
And it is so sweeping the country.
Exactly. So she's recovered her son from autism. And then our second guest later on this afternoon is a photographer to the rich and famous, as I like to say, who has...
And the normal people.
And the normal people. But she does a phenomenal job of balancing work and family. And for any woman who's a mom who has a career, that's difficult. That's a tough balancing act.
And she has done a good job of balancing it. We're real proud of her.
Yeah. So where shall we start?
We're going to start with pregnancy and nutrition and just going that direction and having a healthy pregnancy
babies start with pregnancy?
Well, it might start before that. We'll say we're starting at pregnancy.
Babies started last show.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They did.
And this show we're going into the sequel of that. So first of all, if your pregnancy is planned, I think everybody knows that you should be taking 800 micrograms of folic acid a day. Folic acid Everybody knows. Folic acid prevents birth defects and some other stuff. And I think most people know that. You know, prenatal vitamin, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
What a lot of people don't know is certain vitamins are toxic at high doses and can actually cause birth defects. Vitamin A is one of them. So vitamin A, although it's an immune-boosting vitamin, and I'll be talking about it later, if you're pregnant, you need to be very careful to limit the vitamin A that you take. And you really need to get the precursor, which is beta carotene.
That's interesting because, of course, when my babies were born, I was on prenatal vitamins and probably was the healthiest that I've ever been in my life.
I hear that.
And I didn't know these things like that you had to watch. I just took the prenatals that were prescribed. And that's better than nothing.
Right.
That's really – and that's where you have to start is – actual prenatal care is really important.
Yes. And one of the things I want to tell you is if you're currently pregnant, please start taking omega-3 fatty acid today. Omega-3 fatty acids, which are found in cold water fish, they help with your baby's brain development and they help with neural development. And so when the baby gets that building block from you, it makes a huge difference in their neural transmission. It makes a huge difference in their brain development. And I've just noticed that when I recommend that to patients, their babies are born more alert. You know, their Apgar scores are out through the roof, the whole deal. It just makes a big difference in their overall brain development, which is kind of a key ingredient.
Yeah, that's kind of important.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move into hypnobirthing.
Okay.
Which is using hypnosis rather than drugs. Some of those drugs they give you in birth are horrific.
Some of them are.
Absolutely horrific. Stunting babies' first few moments is against my rules.
Right. Also keeps them from latching on.
Oh my goodness. That sounded very eloquent, didn't
eloquent?
It? Yeah.
Latching on or you?
No, me. No, I was just thinking of babies being born under all of the drugs that babies are born on.
Yeah.
You know, gosh, it just really deters from those first few moments of life, if not the first few days.
If
weeks,
you have
months.
A long, I mean, if you're going to have, a, if you're having a long labor, though, I had an epidural with both of mine. My first one, though, I made it 15 and a half hours before I had to have the epidural. And it was just because at that point I was exhausted. But I'm telling you.
I did 26 hours and was not allowed any drugs.
All right.
So, and it, like, I would do it again. Not today, because, you know, I'm 51 today. So, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it again.
It was a good choice. And second child was only 12 hours and, again, no drugs.
Yeah, my second one was pretty much no drugs and, like, 23 hours. It was a long day.
So my first grandchild was born with a little bit of hypnobirthing. I taught my daughter-in-law some hypnosis techniques, and she used them to focus and to breathe. And I honestly don't think she followed through with the complete birth without drugs. And then that caused a problem later in her physiology. There were sort of serious complications with her after the birth. So I'm saying as natural as you can make it.
I agree.
I'm not judgmental when someone needs a medication, but I'm saying as natural as you can make it.
Well, one of the things that I did is I hired a doula, and that's like it's a mother's mother, basically, and it takes the husband out of the equation because I had a girlfriend, 36 hours of labor. Her husband's like, oh, my God, I'm so tired. She wanted to smack him. So I hired a doula. She was in the room with me, and she was basically my coach. And between the exercise ball and the breathing techniques that she gave me, I mean, I didn't know you then, or else I clearly would have tried hypnobirthing. But with the different techniques that she gave me, that's how I made it so long, through what was pretty intense at that point.
It's funny because when I did hypnobirthing training, they did a big segment on women from other countries who give birth in the fields. They just go out and squat and have a baby. And, you know, they don't have the problems that women have here in birthing
because they're
not told that they're supposed to.
Yeah, plus they're upright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, women in our country get these horrible movies that show that there's great, great pain in childbirth, and there doesn't necessarily have to be.
Right. I agree. And hypnotherapy is phenomenal for pain control.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, once the baby is born, nutrition starts with mom, especially if you're breastfeeding. I do recommend breastfeeding for obvious reasons. You pass on your own natural immunity to your child, which is important. Not the easiest thing in the world. I mean, it's a pretty big commitment to do that.
See, I was before the popular demand of breastfeeding. So I was encouraged not to breastfeed.
So was my mother. I was a formula-fed baby all the way.
I think formulas even then were more pure, though.
Maybe they were.
I think they were less chemically enhanced. They were more pure than what we have today. I just think even the same name brand formulas were much more pure than they are today.
Yeah, because now they're using genetically modified corn syrup and stuff like that. Anyway, so one of the things I would encourage mom to do is try to do breastfeeding. It is really good for the babies, but I'm like you. I'm not judgmental. It's a commitment, and I did it with both of mine, but I understand, especially if you're working, that is something that is not necessarily the easiest thing to keep up, and it's exhausting as well because you're up two or three times a night, and you got to stop what you're doing every few hours at work, and it's a commitment to do.
Yeah, you know, I'm around – like right now, at least one breastfeeding mother, and of course, Joy breastfed, and they seemed to be able to balance it.
Yeah.
One of the girls at my office now breastfeeds, and I think she still breastfeeds, but I couldn't tell you how old the baby is. So,
as long as it's not seven.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it's not. Yeah. No, she's less than a year, but I couldn't tell you exactly how old. And she was born very premature.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, those are the, two infant stages where you could really, the mom's responsible at that point for sort of providing the immunity, and the baby's still getting much of it from
How about past, like first foods, did you feed your children naturally or out of a jar?
Well, I made baby food.
So did I.
For them.
Yeah, so did
so I. What I would do is I would take bananas and mash them up, or I would take butternut squash and I'd steam it and then I'd puree it. I would make oatmeal, you know, puree it really fine and that kind of stuff. So I made my own. And then if I was traveling, of course, I'd take little jars with me.
Yeah, I have to admit that there was a phase there where the only thing Donnie would eat was SpaghettiOs. And, you know, it was just like he would only eat SpaghettiOs, and I let him only eat SpaghettiOs for a little while. Because that's all he would eat.
SpaghettiOs yeah. never, are not allowed in my house.
Oh, I wouldn't today. I swear I wouldn't today, but that's what he ate. That's what he wanted. That he had to be old enough to let me know that, though.
Yeah, he had to be old enough to let me know. Let you know.
So,
all right. So when we come back, we'll talk about...
We'll be talking to
childhood diseases and that stuff.
Yeah.
I think the whole world addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that are...
Most people agree that network marketing is an excellent vehicle to achieving financial freedom. But if you are only retaining 6 to 7% of your people, you won't get very far. Hi, this is Debbie Callis. Seriously, I had a major headache from banging my head against the wall over how to help the people in my organization achieve the success that I was enjoying. Unfortunately, I, along with most network marketers, have been taught that we are in a sales and recruiting business. But with 90% of the population being sales resistant, how can the average person truly find success? The truth is, network marketing is a teaching and mentoring business, and you need a proven, duplicatable system that will work for the masses. My life and business turned around when I came across the free ebook, Success in 10 Steps, by Michael DeLohi. And now I'd like to share this free ebook with you as well. Visit my website at my10steps.com. That's my, the number 10, steps.com. No products or companies are ever mentioned. It's just the straight scoop on the industry. So put that bottle of aspirin away and get started with some great information that will get you on your way to truly owning your life.
Hi, this is Dr. Andrea Mills with Allied Chiropractic. Everybody knows that when you're in pain, a chiropractor is your go-to doctor for safe and effective results. But did you know that chiropractic patients are healthier than the average population? Studies show that patients who get regular chiropractic care spend less money on doctor's visits, prescription drugs, surgeries, and hospitalizations than the average population. Why is that? Well, it makes perfect sense to me. It'll make sense to you, too, if you tune in to my new show, It's a Paradox, with me and my co-host, Dr. Vicki Thomas, where we'll be blowing the lid on living the good life, teaching about how to make your body work better, and a bunch of other great stuff. So listen here on 1380 AM or www.newstalk1380.com. That's on Mondays at 11 a.m. And listen in to find out what you can do to make your body heal that painful condition without drugs, have stronger resistance to colds, flu, and disease, and perform at your very best. We'll talk to you then. Thanks.
If you're smoking and you're choking, call us now. If you're smoking and you're choking, call us now. If you're smoking and you're choking and you want to stop from croaking, if you're smoking and you're choking, call us now.
After my first session here, I walked out of here an ex-smoker. I never smoked after that.
It's been better than a year and a half. I have not had a single urge to smoke.
Hi, this is Dr. Vicki Thomas with Rev It Up Hypnosis, and I've been helping people stop smoking for over 12 years now. Thousands of people.
There were no withdrawal symptoms. None. Zero. I left here, had no desire to smoke.
It's just unbelievable. If you really want to quit smoking, this is the easiest way to quit smoking.
Rev It Up Hypnosis, 661-209-2632. And even though results may vary, we offer a service guarantee and a free hypnosis screening.
If you're smoking and you're choking and you want to stop from croaking, if you're smoking and you're choking, call us now.
Mommy, now you don't have to die.
That's Rev It Up Hypnosis, 661-209-2632.
Are we back?
I think so.
Okay.
Now I can't hear myself
at all.
I know,
I can't hear at all.
We turned it. There we go. Now I can hear
me.
Is
that better?
Can you hear you?
Yes, I can hear.
So now we're going to talk about childhood diseases.
Yes. So I know. And it's, you know, there are so many people who are so scared of all these diseases. And I have to say, the CDC has done a phenomenal job of terrifying parents.
I know. Avian flu.
Swine flu.
Oh, yeah. I will tell you. I went to... I don't know. It was several months ago, and there were like circus tents and stuff over at one of the name brand grocery stores. And I was there to get groceries, and I thought, what's going on over here? So I went to look, and they had free samples of different stuff, and, you know, free samples of cereal boxes and free samples of soap and free. And you go through each one, and they have a little game, and you get a free sample, and it was probably 20 different sample things. And you get to the end, and it was free flu shots.
Of course.
And I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
I went by a major drugstore chain, and there was an H1N1 flu shots available today. And there was no line out the front door. And I joked with my sister-in-law. I said, obviously, the media is not doing a good enough job.
I think they're now flipped going, yeah. Guess what? H1N1 flu shots were worse than the flu.
You think? Yeah. So let's talk about childhood diseases, ear infections. I want to talk specifically about colds and flus, ear infections. I want to talk a little bit about fever process. And then I want to talk a little bit about asthma and allergies. And then we'll get Amber on the phone. Amber,
can I just say that when my kids were ill as children, and they did occasionally get stuff, number one, they stayed home so that they didn't infect all of the other people.
Right.
And number two, I let them be ill. And,
yeah.
You know, you can tell when your child is like chronically ill with a fever of, I don't know, what, 103, mm-hmm. Then you actually go to the doctor.
Well,
you can't budget.
In my pediatric training, here's how it was explained to us. And as a medical professional, as a healthcare professional, this is what I have to explain to parents. You know your child. If your child has a fever and is maybe acting a little punky, you know, not really feeling great, but overall they're looking at you in the eye and they're talking with you and they want to get some sleep and those kinds of things, they're fine. When they're not fine is when their eyes start to kind of glass over, you know. And fever in itself is not dangerous. Fever is a necessary part of the healing process.
Right.
When you have a fever, when your temperature goes up over 99 or 100 degrees, your white blood cells work better than they do at normal temperature. And bacteria are not as effective at that temperature. So there's a reason your body does it.
It burns the disease out.
Exactly. So I always tell people, you know, if your child is so uncomfortable they can't sleep and get rest, which is crucial, then you might want to bring the fever down.
I'll tell you, tummy aches. My son at one point was having some stomach aches. And I took him to the pediatrician because he was having them pretty regularly. And I said, okay, I'm a new mom. I don't know. How do I know when is something serious like appendicitis versus a stomach ache? And seriously, this is what the pediatrician said to me. You have your child stand on the bed and jump off the bed. If he rolls over in pain, it's appendicitis. If he doesn't, it's not.
Oh, what a good way to do it. Fun for the kid too, right?
Yeah, jump off the bed. Okay. Ah.
So,
needless to say, we never had appendicitis in our family.
We never do either. We very rarely. I mean, my kids get sick occasionally as well, but they beat it. They're like me. They beat it pretty quickly. I think this is the longest I've sort of been dealing with something.
And you know what I will tell you was the problem with him at the point in time was he was eating a major name brand cereal with lots of sugar in it for breakfast. And just wasn't eating right.
Yeah, those cereals are not real food.
When we took him away from that, everything changed. His disposition, his attitude, he quit getting ear infections.
Yeah.
Everything changed.
Yeah. So
we had a hit list. You had like a hit list of foods that cause childhood illness.
Yes.
And I remember sugar was the first one.
Anti-nutrients. And these are some of the things, if you think of what makes you sick, is it you, the host, is not strong, or is it that the bug is stronger than you are? No. I mean, if your immune system, if your body works well, then the bacteria and the viruses just don't have as good of a chance of getting hold of you. And these are the things, they're called anti-nutrients. They're the things that will make your immunity go down and make you more susceptible
to
diseases.
And this is not
diseases.
Just for children. This is for
everyone.
No,
this is for everybody. Sugar is number one. Food coloring, number two. Processed fats, and that's going to be things like your partially hydrogenated or hydrogenated oils, food additives, pesticides. That's a biggie because kids still have quite a bit of body fat and pesticides get stored in body fat. So as they grow and they mobilize those fat stores, those toxins can leak out into the body after the exposure. Prescription drugs, that would be things like antibiotics, that sort of stuff. Over-the-counter drugs, you know, obviously we're talking about your cough syrups and cold syrups, and then hopefully alcohol and tobacco are not issues with kids. Yeah, exactly.
No cigarettes and alcohol.
Yeah, so those are the anti-nutrients. And if your kids get a lot of those, they're more likely to be sick. Now, here's something interesting. We had a friend over this weekend, and his daughters, whenever they have pancakes, she breaks out in a rash, like right around her mouth. And I was mentioning our food show, and I said one of my patients had gone home and looked at her syrup, and sure enough, her syrup wasn't real syrup. It was, you know, water and cornstarch and caramel color number whatever and a bunch of other stuff. It wasn't real syrup. It was this, you know, name brand syrup-like product. And his eyes got really big, and he says, oh, I think that's what we give our kids, or something similar. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll go home and take a look at
it. Yeah, you know what?
And put them on maple syrup.
We did that show, and several people since then have contacted me to say that they are now buying real organic maple syrup, and it's a little bit costly. It's like $10 to $12 a bottle.
Yeah.
However, they're telling me that the flavor is phenomenal, phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I happen to be in my normal grocery store, and they had two bottles of 100% organic maple syrup on sale, marked down, like getting rid of them for $3 each. So
yeah.
I grabbed them.
Good. Yeah. That's
I never make pancakes, so I don't know what I'll eat them on. But but I have been craving maple flavoring, so I think I'll do something with that. Maybe
I'll make waffles
on some nuts or something.
So let's talk a little bit about ear infections and asthma, because those are biggies. And the reason I want to talk about ear infections is because ear infections is the primary reason that children are prescribed antibiotics. And if your kid suffers from a lot of ear infections, here's what's happening likely. Not always, but likely. You're going into the doctor. They're probably not culturing the inner ear. And half the time, there's no bacteria in the ear anyway. But your child comes away with antibiotics. And if you have more than, you know, two or three antibiotic sessions sort of in a row within a period of a few months, you're setting your child up for food allergies. And that's a little bit scary, because food allergies can cause all sorts of problems later on down the road, because the antibiotics kill the bad bacteria, but they also kill the ones that keep you healthy.
Yeah, and yeast. You've heard of candida yeast infection.
Yes, and I'm sure
it will grow out of control.
I'm absolutely sure Amber's got something to say about yeast, because, you know, it's one of the things you have to look at with kids with autism.
Let's go ahead and talk to
Amber. Let's see if Amber's on the phone. Amber, are you there?
I am here. Hi.
Hey, thanks for waiting.
No problem.
So we're going to switch topics just a little bit. Amber, why don't you tell everyone just a little bit about what you've gone through with Caden and, you know, his development and then his diagnosis of autism and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, Caden was a very typical infant. He hit all of his milestones as far as holding up his head, crawling, and, you know, all the little milestones, you know, that first few months of infancy, I guess you can say. And,
right.
You know, his first round of vaccinations and things, he got a little bit sick, but there was no immediate, you know, switch. And then as he got older, he had another, you know, he did the routine or the recommended schedule and then got very sick, 18 months, and was hospitalized with antibiotics for an infection. Hmm. And with that round of antibiotics, he was hospitalized for a few days and hooked up to an IV.
Wow.
And after that, then
How old
we
was
saw
he?
A big change and just regression, and, you know, behaviors started as far as self-injurious behaviors. He stopped talking. He was withdrawing from any social interaction.
How terrifying for you? How terrifying for you as a parent?
Oh, my goodness. It was horrible. We walked around on eggshells all the time because we didn't know what was going to set him off. And, you know, he didn't want to be held anymore. He didn't want to be... We couldn't hug him and squeeze him and love him and kiss him. He wanted to headbutt us.
Wow.
So it was very difficult. And, you know, he's my first. I come from a family of, you know, I've got five siblings. So I'm pretty used to having children and, you know, young ones around me. Although when I saw the change, I didn't immediately jump to any conclusions. I just thought there was this change, and it was the terrible twos, and I was trying to find excuses, and my doctor was giving me excuses, you know, well, it's your first child, and you know,
you must not know anything. You must not know anything because it's your first child.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, well, wait a second, but I have six, you know, nieces and nephews, and they didn't do this. They didn't lose their speech. They didn't, you know, lose the ability. I couldn't even hold his face in my hands and get him to make eye contact.
Wow. And how old was he? He was two?
He was about 2 years old at this time, yeah, when we just, that switch, and it was like a downhill spiral.
Okay, so how old was he when he was officially diagnosed autistic?
Just before his third birthday.
Okay, so you struggled with a year looking for answers.
We did. I called, and a lot of places told me he was too young to diagnose, and I got the runaround. I would sit in my office and just cry my eyes out while I could hear him in the other room beating train tracks together because he couldn't just figure out how to put them together, and because they didn't just magically click together, he would just fly into these rages.
So how did you get on the course of turning it around? Like, what was your inspiration for turning it around?
Well, I kept, I just obsessed over, you know, finding answers. And when we finally did get the diagnosis, I started Googling, and I kept coming up with this one website, TACA Now, and it was this organization that's a nonprofit that offers help and resources to families with autism, and they kept talking about diet and nutrition and how important it was and supplements, and, you know, at the time, I was never a real, you know, health nut or anything. I mean, you know, we did fast food for dinner and, you know, to have frozen pizzas or burritos in the freezer, we thought nothing of it. And so I kept hearing about it, and then I read this book by Jenny McCarthy, and I just, after, I think it was one fit, like a year into it, after I'd read about it and heard about it, I finally told my family, that's it. I can't take another tantrum. I'm gonna lose it. And I just, if this will give me a conversation with my son or give me hope, I've got to at least say I tried. I can't tell him in 20 years that I heard, but I never tried it.
Yeah, that was the one thing when I met you originally that really struck me, because I deal with parents who, you know, I deal with parents who, they want to do the best thing for their kids, but they don't really know how, and it's kind of inconvenient. And it pisses me off. And that was one of the things about you that I just loved, because you came in to me and you were like, I could not let my son grow up and tell him I didn't try to do everything possible to give him a normal life. And that dedication and that love shone through so strongly. It was like this arrow of you know what I mean? This arrow of love for Caden. So tell us a little bit about, and it's, by the way, Amber, kind of funny that like everything you're talking about goes back to nutrition, because
yes.
I sound like a broken record with people and they're like, Andrea, could you just quit? And I'm like, no, it's the key to everything. It is the key to your health. You know, that and a fully functioning immune system are keys.
You know, they've done so many studies, and a lot of, when you look at these children, and it's not just children with autism, ADD, ADHD, and, you know, you look at a lot of them, and there's a gut-brain correlation.
Right.
When you really look at the underlying issues, and a lot of times, that's all it is inflammation in the gastrointestinal tract, or they're not digesting certain things properly, you know, and it's such a simple thing to fix, although to have that dedication, it really is so strict, and you really have to, you know, be on it, because just that little, you know, somebody saying, oh, here, you can just have a taste of my milkshake. You know, my son can't tolerate dairy, and that little sip of a milkshake will set us off with behaviors for a week. I mean, it's so strict and so serious, but my son is now in a mainstream general ed classroom, and his best friend is a neurotypical little boy that has no issues at all, and you couldn't pick him out of a crowd. I mean, he gets along just fine, but, you know, if he gets sick...
No, in fact, the ones that you could pick out of a crowd are the ones who are eating wrong, and they're bouncing off the walls, and they're behaving badly.
Exactly, and a lot of times it's something as simple as removing refined sugars you know, dyes, colors, and, you know, I know as a child... you know, they said I had ADD, or, you know, told my mom, and my mom removed artificial colors. Somebody told her, take out artificial colors. And sure enough, it seemed that the days that I had artificial colors and preservatives, my behaviors were worse, or it was more difficult for me to focus.
And for parents that don't know, I mean, there are lab tests that we can run that will tell specifically what your child has issues with. And we can test for the food additives, and we can test for the food colorings, and we can test for the different drugs and antibiotics and stuff. Those exist. People don't know that they exist.
Well, see, I can even go back 30 years, 25 years, because Donnie was 5 and he was having constant earaches and constant headaches and leg aches. And one day he laid his head on the floor and just cried. And the doctor said there was absolutely nothing wrong with this child, that it was behavioral. I happened to go to the health food store going, help, I need help. And the woman said, it sounds like a candida infestation, and told me to take him off of all sugar, cut back fruits, start with just plain vegetables and plain meats. And we did that, and within 5 days, the kid was headache-free, muscle ache-free. She gave me something that did a candida cleanse. I don't even remember what it was. It was a vitamin-type thing. And just the miraculous results. And then we started only feeding him natural foods. And he, even to this day, knows that if he eats too much sugar, candy, crap, and he's 30 now, that he will respond badly.
Amber, is candida something you had to deal with?
Oh, yeah. We definitely battled candida for a while. And, you know, just cutting back on certain things and doing the supplements like probiotics weren't enough for us. We actually had to go to a more extreme and do a specific carbohydrate diet, because not only did he have candida, he had inflammation in his GI tract, as well as an imbalance of bad bacteria.
You know, various labs send me information, and I've been getting a lot of information on recently on candida and the autism, how candida and autism relate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It plays a huge role in their behaviors. And, you know, I mean, everybody has candida. It's just the amount that
we have. Right. Yeah.
And
you know, so, ironically enough, in normal, you know, non-autistic kids, what's the single most common reason for candida overgrowth? Antibiotic use.
Antibiotics, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So, you know, I kind of wonder there, too,
antibiotics and a combination of sugar and processed foods, which feed the yeast.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's not just sugar, but you look at foods that break down into carbs, you know, like potatoes and starchy products, which were things that we had to remove.
Right.
And I got to tell you, Amber makes an amazing gluten-free chocolate chip cookie.
Thank you.
Feel free to drop some of those off at the office, woman. No, I'm kidding.
I know. I have promised to bring you a case of my cookies, so I will definitely have to do that.
Oh, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing.
So is there any specific, like, because we only have a minute left with you, is there any specific advice that you could give to parents who are struggling with any symptoms of this?
You know, food definitely played a huge role for us. And it can be expensive to do the test, and it can be expensive to, you know, to get special doctors, you know, that if you're in the autism world, to run these tests or to observe our children. And I would say, you know, start with removing what you think is offenders, and start with food journals, and look at what you're giving your child. Look at when the behaviors are occurring, or, you know, the symptoms of headaches and leg, you know, cramps may be in those foods. And, you know, if you see a difference, or, you know, if you'd rather not try or don't know where to start, then look into doing the test. It's a simple test, and at least you know right off the bat what to remove.
Good, good. Thank you so much, Amber
for coming
on. I think what you have to say is really powerful, and I wish we had hours to get that voice out there, because that's really powerful.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you so much for coming on, Amber.
You're welcome.
And if anyone wants information on curing autism, what's the website that they can go to?
Yes.
TACA
now?
TACA now, TACANOW.org.
Okay, so it's www.TACANOW.org if you want more information on that. Thank you, lady.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Informative
stuff.
That's
a lot of information, yeah.
Yeah, and she really, I mean, she and I have sat down a couple different times and spent, you know, an hour or so. Yeah, it just struck me, because she said, I can't let my son grow up and tell him I didn't do everything in my power to get him healthy. And I thought, wow, what dedication.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back in a little bit. Hi, this is Dr. Andrea Mills with Allied Chiropractic. Everybody knows that when you're in pain, a chiropractor is your go-to doctor for safe and effective results. But did you know that chiropractic patients are healthier than the average population? Studies show that patients who get regular chiropractic care spend less money on doctor's visits, prescription drugs, surgeries, and hospitalizations than the average population. Why is that? Well, it makes perfect sense to me. It'll make sense to you, too, if you tune in to my new show, It's a Paradox, with me and my co-host, Dr. Vicki Thomas, where we'll be blowing the lid on living the good life, teaching you about how to make your body work better, and a bunch of other great stuff. So listen here on 1380 AM or www.newstalk1380.com. That's on Mondays at 11 a.m. And listen in to find out what you can do to make your body heal that painful condition without drugs, have stronger resistance to colds, flu, and disease, and perform at your very best. We'll talk to you then. Thanks.
If you're smoking and you're choking, call us now. If you're smoking and you're choking, call us now. If you're smoking and you're choking and you want to stop from croaking, if you're smoking and you're choking, call us now.
After my first session here, I walked out of here an ex-smoker. I never smoked after that.
It's been better than a year and a half. I have not had a single urge to smoke.
Hi, this is Dr. Vicki Thomas with Rev It Up Hypnosis, and I've been helping people stop smoking for over 12 years now. Thousands of people.
There were no withdrawal symptoms. None. Zero. I left here, had no desire to smoke.
It's just unbelievable. If you really want to quit smoking, this is the easiest way to quit smoking.
Rev It Up Hypnosis, 661-209-2632. And even though results may vary, we offer a service guarantee and a free hypnosis screening.
If you're smoking and you're choking and you want to stop from croaking, if you're smoking and you're choking, call us now.
Mommy, now you don't have to die.
That's Rev It Up Hypnosis, 661-209-2632.
Most people agree that network marketing is an excellent vehicle to achieving financial freedom. But if you are only retaining 6 to 7% of your people, you won't get very far. Hi, this is Debbie Callis. Seriously, I had a major headache from banging my head against the wall over how to help the people in my organization achieve the success that I was enjoying. Unfortunately, I, along with most network marketers, have been taught that we are in a sales and recruiting business. But with 90% of the population being sales resistant, how can the average person truly find success? The truth is, network marketing is a teaching and mentoring business, and you need a proven, duplicatable system that will work for the masses. My life and business turned around when I came across the free ebook, Success in 10 Steps, by Michael DeLohi. And now, I'd like to share this free ebook with you as well. Visit my website at my10steps.com. That's my, the number 10, steps.com. No products or companies are ever mentioned. It's just the straight scoop on the industry. So put that bottle of aspirin away and get started with some great information that will get you on your way to truly owning your life.
Three strikes, you're out.
Oh, man, I'm hurting myself in the studio today.
How many times are you going to beat yourself up today?
At least twice. Maybe three times. The day's not over yet.
Okay. We're back. And Andrea is beating herself up.
Oh, yeah.
She knocked her ankle and her head.
Slammed my foot with my heel, and now I just hit myself in the face with
earphones.
It's
a good thing we're not on video.
Yeah, it really is.
So we now have one of my favorite moms coming on. So let's go ahead and get her on, and I'll introduce her.
Joy, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
I'm happy to be here.
Hi, it's nice to meet you. I've heard lots and lots and lots about you.
I'm sure you have.
And
I
it's
have
all
very
good.
Active children that see her often.
Joy is one of my favorite people in the world and one of my favorite moms.
And why is that?
Well, one, because she's my daughter-in-law.
I have to say that.
And she is raising two healthy, very happy children. And the reason we have Joy on is because she's managed to balance a blossoming and expanding career with her family. And she balances it really well.
And Joy, I mean, I was joking with Vicki that I'm going to take notes because any working mom struggles with this every minute of every day.
Well, let me tell you one thing. I mean, I have the skills in my brain, but I have to relearn them every single morning after my patience wears off. So I will share as much as I can, but I can't tell you that I stick to them 100% of the time.
Okay, so let's start with how old are your kids?
Gracie is 3.5, and Brandon is 19 months.
Wow. And you're a business owner, right?
Yes, I'm a photographer. I shoot a lot of portraits and weddings, and we are smack dab in the middle of the craziest time of year for photographers.
So yeah, because of weddings and graduations and stuff. Huh?
Thank you.
Yeah, I always do Joy's blog on my Facebook because the pictures bring tears to my eyes, even if I don't know the people. I swear.
Well, I love my job, and if I didn't have a husband and two children, I'm sure I could be 1,000 times more on top of the things I wish I was. But I guess one of the biggest things I've learned is to just work smarter and not harder because I don't have any other choice at this point.
Right. So what does that look like in your day?
Are there things in particular that you're thinking about?
Well,
do you want to fire off the questions? Because I could just keep talking.
Yeah, what does that look like in your day? I mean, what does working smarter and not harder look like in Joy's, let's say, in your morning? I mean, just getting up and taking care of the kids.
Okay, I'll give you a typical day. okay, so we normally get up probably around 6, and I have a very sweet husband, Vicky's son, who is 100% supportive of me. So I must say that is a huge thing, a huge help.
It does make a big difference, doesn't it?
It makes a huge difference because I'm prone to migraine headaches, and if I don't get sleep, I get one, and then I'm totally ineffective for my family the next day. So thank the Lord I have a sweet husband that lets me sleep in an extra hour in the morning. And when I sleep in, I mean 7 o'clock.
So I'm pretty much
up at 7 and then up with the kids and kind of a zombie until 9. And half the week I take them to daycare, half the time I don't. When they are in daycare, I basically try to accomplish as many things as possible. I've learned that I have to write things down. I have so many things swirling in my mind for my business, not even to mention my children, that
right.
If I just relied on my own brain alone, I wouldn't get very far.
I joke that if it's not in my phone, it doesn't exist.
Yes, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Totally. So basically, from that point on, I make lists every single night. I can't sleep. I wake up with nightmares if I don't make lists, basically because I'm so OCD to begin with. So I just go through my list, and obviously millions of things come up in the day. This day is a great example. So, you know, right as I was getting ready to answer your call, Brandon started screaming when he's supposed to be napping now. So I went in, rocked him for 2 minutes, prayed that you wouldn't call, put him back down. He's still screaming now, but sometimes you just have to let them scream. And so that's okay. And so, you know, hopefully he'll go back to sleep and I can get back to my list. And
yeah, I mean, as long as he's not hungry or, you know, hurt himself.
Oh, no, we got it all covered.
Exactly.
He's not hungry. He's not wet. He just loves to be attached to me as much as possible.
Right.
And
the nap.
The truth is, I've never seen Brandon scream.
I'm sure.
I haven't.
Talking right there.
Yeah, I've only seen him happy, giggly, cuddly.
Well,
the perfect child.
I think he is a happy kid almost all of the time anyways. But sometimes mama's got to get some laundry done
or be
on a radio show or who knows. So, you know, I just have tried to set very firm boundaries for myself as far as my business. I used to do a lot of things for free for people, mm-hmm. and if I didn't have my mortgage dependent on my job, I would do things for free all day, but I've realized that my time costs money, too.
Exactly.
So
good for you.
I've learned. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
I know that even as the kids began and your business began, it's grown as they've grown. It's almost like you're growing another child.
Well, you know, it is really true. It's all-consuming. I would say it's like having 10 children aside from my own. So I've set office hours for myself. Having a business where I work out of my house and have 2 children and a husband and try and just get through the day to begin with, I have an office where I can close the door, where I can, you know, say that I'm only in the office, quote-unquote, certain hours, so that everyone knows what to expect. Because things got very hard for us about a year ago when I was trying to just conquer everything at once. And someone would email me and I would think, oh, I have to get back to them right away. And I've had to train myself to say, okay, the kids come first. My sanity comes first. I cannot be effective in any other aspect of my life if I don't set boundaries for myself. So that seemed to work, at least in the meantime.
Yeah, and Oh, that triggered a thought. Now I lost it already.
Well, I think boundaries are really important.
Oh,
anyway.
I know what I was
But when you
say.
Have children, it's especially important. Because, especially as the mom, we get so little privacy as it is.
I want to say
there
that.
There is no privacy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't shower or get ready for work without someone coming in and asking me a question about something. It's like, could I just have 5 minutes
It
alone,
is family
please?
Time when you're in the shower. It's like, yeah, hey, so. Mom, family time.
So
you guys shower. I don't shower anymore. I don't know what you're talking about. I think I washed my hair last week. But a perfect example for that is I was on a phone call with a client, and Brandon came up to me, and I was talking to my client. Oh, don't mind the screaming in the background. And, you know, as I'm talking about something incredibly professional, Brandon just pulls my pants down and starts blowing a raspberry on my leg. So, you know, I just started laughing and told them I would have to call them back. But, you know, it's thankfully my business, people around me have children, too, so that's really a blessing. If I had a business job where people didn't have little ones running around, it might be a little bit more complicated.
Yeah. Every now and then I'll have to bring the kids into the office, and they're old enough now. Mine are a couple years older than yours, Joy, but they're old enough now I can set them up on my laptop with, you know, like Netflix on demand and let them watch a movie or something. So it works better. But there were times when my oldest was a toddler, I'd have to bring her in with me, and she'd crawl around the office, and people would be like, what's the kid doing here?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you know, you just got to make it work.
Sometimes they're sick.
Sometimes, exactly. Sometimes they're sick. Sometimes your daycare provider is sick. Sometimes, you know, it just happens.
Well, I've even noticed one of the what triggered that memory again was about boundaries. And both you and Donnie on your phone messages say, these are my business hours. It's like Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday or something like that.
Yes.
And if you're calling at times other than that, you might not reach us. You know, like...
Yeah. At first I thought, oh, maybe it's a little bit rude, but, you know, I really watched my marriage suffer when I was putting my business before my family and my husband, and there's zero intimate time between us pretty much all the time. So we really have to push to make that a priority, because once that goes down, everything else crumbles and it's just not worth it, and that's when you want to give up. And still got to pay the bills, still have to try and raise healthy children and make meals and have time to laugh, because it doesn't come naturally in this sort of situation. So you have to figure out ways to encourage it to happen, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's
I'm
right.
a firm believer in letting people know up front what the expectations are.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have kids and you're a business owner, sometimes you have to let people know, you call me. You know, like for me, for example, my days off are Tuesday afternoon. I'm with my kids at gymnastics. People want meetings with me on Tuesday afternoons, it's generally not going to happen. And I just let them know, Tuesdays I'm mom. I'm not doctor on Tuesdays, I'm mom on Tuesdays.
I get a huge number of hypnosis calls on the weekends. And like I'm always amazed when they say, well, I called on Saturday, but you didn't call me back. Well, you know, I have a life too.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have small children at home, I need some time with my family, my husband at home.
Right.
And I'm not available on weekends. In fact, my office phone goes down.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good thing.
I don't know about you, Joy, but Saturdays is actually pretty good for me, because my family is home. My husband is home to watch the kids, and I can get to the office for a few hours and see some patients and not have to worry about daycare or school or whatever.
That's good.
So.
Yeah. It's always an adventure.
Yes, it is.
Well, I would like people to know how to reach you if they would like to check your website out and look at some of your work, because your work is phenomenal.
Yeah, you do take beautiful pictures, Joy.
For family memories,
Thank you. Well, you can go on my website. It's www.wildflowersphotos.com, wildflowers with an S at the end, photos with an S at the end.com. And fun, you know, I try to infuse as much of my personal life as I feel comfortable sharing on the site, because I feel like my business is so much a part of being intimate and getting to know the ins and outs of things and their people that I meet and their passions and their children. And, you know, I think it's a priority. So, you know, having my business and having my kids and having everything coincide, I think overall it's really a wonderful thing.
And I think you're doing a really good job at balancing it. That's
truly
why
thanks,
we wanted
Mom.
You here.
Well, Joy,
of course,
thank
I love
you.
Thank you. Well, I hope it was helpful a little bit to somebody out there.
I'm sure it will be. Thank you so much.
Give everybody a hug for me.
Okay. I will.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay. So we've got a few minutes left. I want to wrap up, and I want to wrap up with some specific action steps that people can take to help boost their kids' immunity.
Good.
Naturally. So that maybe if they're on the antibiotic treadmill, they can get off of it. So first of all, remember those anti-nutrients, you know, sugar, food coloring, processed fats, food additives, pesticides, blah, blah, blah. Try to get those out of your kid's diet. And Amber didn't mention this, but I'm going to. If you suspect that your kids have food allergies, the biggest culprits are going to be obviously, you know, peanuts or some sort of a nut. Dairy is huge, especially if your child is always fighting off sinus stuff or colds and flus. Dairy is huge. Wheat is another biggie, and then soy. So those would be the ones that...
Soy, which surprises everybody, but that's so true.
Yeah, no, it really is. So if your child is getting sick, and I'll give you both the adult dosages and the kid dosages for this. If you feel like you're getting sick or if you're coming down with something, there is an immune-boosting cocktail you can take. It is based on the immune-boosting vitamins, vitamins A, vitamin E, and vitamin C. Now, remember what I said at the beginning of the show, vitamin A in high doses is toxic. So this is something you want to do for 1 to 2 weeks only and then cut. So you're not going to do this for long term. Vitamin A is a fat-soluble vitamin. It's stored in the liver and the fat cells. It is the immune vitamin. And if you are sick, you can give your kids 10,000 IUs per day. That's an international unit for 1 to 2 weeks. So no more than 2 weeks. Here's how I do it. If your kid is, you know, 15, you can give them 10,000 IUs. If your kid is 10, you can give them like 5,000 IUs. And if your kid is 5, you can give them up to like 3,000 IUs. So just be kind of careful there. Vitamin E, it protects the cell membranes. It's a primary antioxidant. You can give your child up to 400 IUs of that a day. And vitamin C, which increases your resistance to infections and inhibits the virus or the bacteria itself, you can give a child up to 6,000 milligrams per day. So what I recommend is with kids, vitamin A twice a day, vitamin E twice a day, and then vitamin C like once every 2 hours. Because that one's water-soluble, and so it gets flushed out really quickly.
And if people have questions about that, they should call Dr. Mills, because I don't go there. I don't go with any kind of suggested. I can't.
I'm the nutrition guru. 661-945-4441. Or we're also going to post this on the resources section of the website, and that is www.the2docs. That's the number 2docs.com. And I will have both the child dosages and the adult dosages there. Good. So that people can read them.
Excellent.
Okay.
So what are you doing this week? In the near future?
I am recovering. I came down with a cold last week, and I have not really had a chance to rest. So it's taking a little bit longer for me to get it out of my system than normal. But
I know. When you told me you didn't rest this weekend, I said, huh? Why?
No.
You know better. Well, you know better.
Because I did rest yesterday. But
as caretakers of people, it is our job to take care of ourselves first.
I know. Saturday I was running. But yesterday I did rest a little bit. And then, you know, I was running again this morning.
So did I. We had people wanting us to do stuff, and I just said, no, resting.
Yeah. I'm don't have a ton of stuff going on. I've got a few workshops in the office, but I'm really preparing for this conference in Phoenix that I'm going to the first week of June. Very excited about that. I always come back with a ton of new knowledge. And my patients love it when I go to conference, because I come back and they're like, oh, you're doing new stuff that works really well.
Yeah. See, I'm going to training in Bismarck. I think it's the second or third week in June, too.
Yeah. So
and
that's what's going on.
Have some new hypnotist training going on the first weekend in June. So if anyone's interested in becoming a hypnotist, they need to call my office at 661-209-2632.
And Vicki, if anyone's interested in hypnobirthing, how can they reach you?
Same thing, 661-209-2632.
Good. And if you have kids who deal with asthma or ear infections, that kind of thing, I would encourage you to look up chiropractic and that stuff. It does help. My number is 661-945-4441.
And we'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
The following was a